Sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It is Tuesday, December the 6th, now into Wednesday, December the 7th, 2011. And we are live here with you tonight on the broadcast and glad you could join us. We are going to be getting into all the news we have to get into today. As I started reading, I was reading last night from the Kabbalion on the show, and I was just realizing I think I've read some of this before on the show in the past. But again, you know, hey, it's neither here nor there. Maybe stuff I've already read, but hey, it's good to go back over it. And I do enjoy reading this, all this kind of stuff. It was another one of those suggestions from the readers. And we had so many good suggestions on these different things. So I'd like to, I'm having fun continuing on these series of these, and I'm going to try to get around to, as many of the requests as I can. I think I had a request for the Book of Enoch as well. That'll be fucking epic, won't it? Jeez. really good reason why they left that out of Bible text. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty much irrefutable for the whole, extraterrestrial involvement of humankind and whatnot. But, yeah, so we'll probably end up doing the Book of Enoch as well here for you. My website, where this broadcast originates from, is www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. You can go there and find all the stuff for my show, the links to the radio shows, past shows, archives, video clips, stuff that's been taken from the show, made into video clips, lots of those. You can find those on YouTube. People always get emails asking about old shows, archive shows, Oracle shows. Somewhere, I think Lee Rogers has them somewhere. I think there's a massive archive of Oracle shows. I want to get my hands on those at some point so we can get those online. A lot of people asking about those. But archive.org, that's archive.org. If you want to listen to some of the older Global Reality shows, there's a whole hell of a lot of them that are collated there, commercial free. And you can go there and find those as well. Also, don't forget, at my website now on sale, and these will be shipping out over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Now on sale, my newest film, The Secret Life Volume 2. You can get that and order that now, and you'll be one of the first people that get it after the pre-orders go out. And we're going to be offering that on DVD and Blu-ray. And I really hope you'll get it. If you do have the ability to watch it in Blu-ray, I hope that you will, because it really does look fantastic. It really is the most superior way to see the film. It's the way I intended it to be seen. So when you're watching that, I mean, the DVD will be good too, but it just has this pop and this look to it and stuff like that. But I think once we eventually have it up online, it'll look pretty close to that as well. But I am super excited for you all to see the film, and I'm super excited for the people who have seen it so far. Our pay-per-view viewings, thanks to those people who have watched it. And a lot of people have said they've been on research tirades since watching it, and they've been, going down all these rabbit holes, and I'm glad that they're doing that, because that's the whole intent and purpose of the film, is to at least, you know, maybe help you out or help anybody out there out in broadening their horizons and looking deeper into the deeper elements of things. I think the biggest lesson learned from my two films on this subject is that if you thought you couldn't take anything at face value already concerning mainstream society and everything else, folks, you got to learn not to take anything at face value whatsoever. I mean, it is all a charade. It's all a facade. It's all an illusion with these people, and so. They get very good at the illusion, and so they're agents of the illusion, become very good at what they do. Very convincing. Because again, you know, a good amount of rat poison, 90-something% of it is grain. Harmless. It's another small percentage that kills you, and that's a nice allegory for Jones. Another nice allegory for Jones is in the film itself, from an old news clip from the 1980s. If you plant a Jesuit, you will harvest a radical. I love that. It's a very fitting sort of tie-in there. And you know, it's so funny. I've had several people. I had somebody do it when I put out the first hour on YouTube, and I've had another person do it since I put it out the second. And I put it in big bold letters so people know. It's pretty obvious. This is not the complete film. Hour one denotes it's hour one of a multiple hour film. It's 2 hours and 48 minutes approximately, full running time. But I have people saying, oh, this is a disappointment. I thought this was, this is going to be 3 hours long. It's only an hour long. And it says right there, hour number one. It's not the complete film. I had somebody else do that again. Put the 49 minutes out. Oh, man, you just stopped. You were getting on a roll looking like you were about to talk about Alex Jones and Ron Paul, and you just stopped. Yeah. You want to see that? You got to buy the DVD or the Blu-ray. Thank you very much. Or buy the pay-per-view viewing, whatever you want to do. You're not going to get that for free, because that's what everybody wants, and that's what everybody wants me to talk about and wants to hear me talk about. So, But you have to watch the film as a complete piece. It's really not meant to be broken into pieces, because everything in the film is painting a picture for you based on the evidence that I found in... Well, now 4 years of researching the CMP, but 2 years in researching this this second installment of the film. Although there is stuff that's in this second installment of the film that I researched and found out when I had made volume one, but just for whatever reason, it didn't fit in there. You know, for me, I can't just put stuff in there just for the sake of putting information in there. It's got to serve the overall picture you're trying to paint, you know. And only that, I like I said, I always like to leave little nuggets for you. So, you know, yes, there are things that I didn't put in the film that I could have put in there, but in my mind, it was overkill. Not only that, I like to leave some stuff for you for that aha moment, because for me, that's always the things that keeps me driving me. Is those little sparks, those little aha moments of making a connection and finding new pieces of information and seeing how they connect together and going, oh my God, you know, and it just clicks with you again. And if you're not finding yourself having that happen to you very often, then I would suggest that you probably need to continue to do your own research and do your own digging, because those moments really only happen. I think people want those moments to happen to them by proxy, by listening to radio shows like mine and watching videos like mine and other people's stuff like that out there. I think that's the whole point of why people listen to these shows and watch films like mine and stuff, is because that's how they get their aha moment. Right? And so, you know, some researcher like me or anybody else out there or any some radio host, you know, spends hours and hours and days and weeks and months, years, decades now going on for me. It's just amazing. But some people, you know, these people spend, we spend all our time researching this stuff and then we put it out and we have those aha moments, you know, from doing the research and doing our own work. But then, you know, people watch our stuff, listen to our stuff. And that's why they listen to it. They get the, you know, condensed version of the aha moment. So they, you know, they don't have to do their own digging to get it. And that's what people want. That's what they want you to provide them with. That's certainly what people want me to provide them with. Whether or not I'm always able to do that or not, I don't know. Obviously, it happens sometimes because I'm still here and people seem to be getting something out of the show. And I appreciate that so much to everybody out there who supports us and donates and keeps us going. I love you guys more than I can ever put into words. That's the biggest amount of truth I can ever give you right there. I literally love all our supporters, the people who keep us going. You know, I think that's the whole thing is that you need to get those moments and provide those moments to yourself from yourself. I want you to experience the things that I experience when I'm making a film. I think that's one of the reasons I am so grateful to all the people out there that allow me to do this and are able to make it possible for me to do this is because I don't think you understand it's so much more than just, you know, providing support and donations so I can have equipment and so I can eat and live and survive and all that stuff. But you're also providing me with an experience that which then allows me, because of the position I'm in with the radio show, and I've been established now, you know, I've been here for over 4 years now. You know, I'm not a flash in the pan. I'm here. I've been here a while. I'm not going anywhere. I've still got a lot left to say and a lot left to do when it comes to all this stuff. These experiences that I have from making these films and doing this work and research, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, and there's never an end to it. I mean, I hear people all the time. I see people that think you get to the point where they know everything or something. And it's just not possible. And then I see people that get, you know, they're just pissed off all the time about this stuff. And I don't know, man. I think that if you let this stuff grind on you and you let this stuff consume you in a negative way, the bastards have won already. We're supposed to take all this information that we're discussing and bringing out on radio shows like this and in videos like mine and stuff like that. We're supposed to be taking all this stuff and figuring out a way to sort of acclimate it and bring it into our beings and to try and attempt to do something positive with it. That's the whole thing is that our gauge of what is success and our gauge of what is effective is based on a very flawed scale because we think of whether or not something is effective or whether or not something is successful based strictly on its commercial or monetary success. You know, there are plenty of people out there that think that because, you know, I'm sure it's people who don't know anything about, you know, the information research conspiracy genre stuff. But I'm sure there are people out there, probably people, you know, family members and stuff that I have that don't know a goddamn thing about any of this stuff and could care less, really. I got a lot of family members. I got some family members who do care, but I got some other family members, you know, I ain't give a fuck less. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people like that and other people out there, they probably think that, you know, because my show isn't on, you know, AM and FM stations, which it has been before, I choose to do my show this way because I get to say what I want. I mean, if somebody wanted to put me on XM radio or something like that and let me still do my show this way, great. You know, fine, whatever. If it gets out to more people, sure. But that's about it. I'm not interested in censoring myself anymore for doing, because I did that for the longest time and I never saw any benefit from it. Now, it didn't bring me more or any at all. Seriously, any at all. But it didn't bring me any, you know, extra cash or support to work on my films or anything else. It didn't bring me anything. Except a bunch of heartache for being mad at myself for not being who I really am. Doing it for the cause or whatever, you know? And it's just, and I know a lot of people that still do that to this day. And it's just sad to see it. But, you know, a lot of people gauge success and effectiveness based on whether or not, you know, like, if okay, I'm not on major radio stations or television or something like that, so that must mean I'm not successful at this. And I don't think that that's, I don't think that's true at all. But see, people have this messed up, skewed view of what being effective and what being successful is, that they judge things based, it's just a flawed model. And that's the whole thing is that, you know, especially when you're doing something like this with what I do, you have to learn very quickly to divorce yourself from the outcome. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I was on radio, when I made my first film, 9/11 New World Rising, subsequent radio interviews and stuff like that I did is what led to me, you know, doing my own radio show. But I was, you know, a lot of people were pumping me up, you know, in the 9/11 group and stuff that we were in at that time and saying a lot of stuff. And so they were kind of inflating my ego and whatnot. But I, you know, I really thought I was going to make tons of money on that film. I thought I was going to make thousands of dollars. And I really didn't make jack diddly fucking squat. And I had a bookstore down in Austin that was supposed to, have this big premiere and promote it on radio shows. And this, you know, five or six people ended up showing up, didn't sell any DVDs. So that, and so we didn't get to have a vacation or do any of that kind of stuff. It really sucked. And, I, you know, that was a wake up call for me. And I realized that, you know, I thought, I guess going into it, cause I'd put, you know, a lot of money into the film and we'd have this big event. We had William Rodriguez and all this stuff. We had Lakewood Theater. And I thought I was going to make back at least what I put into it and didn't make back close to that. And within like a month of that, I started my radio show and I had Peter Del Scott on. And all of a sudden, here fell this information in my lap about the CMP, which sent me on this crazy research tirade and realizing that, oh my God, you know, it's looking like we bought into another fucking phony paradigm here with the Truth Movement, Patriot Movement thing. And indeed, that ended up being the case. But that event of me finding out about the CMP from Peter Del Scott and going on that was the event right there that single-handedly just 100% crushed and defeated forever and ever any and all idea of doing this and making movies and information and stuff for the intent and goal of making money. I don't even think about it with this. Obviously, I try to do some things that will maximize that, you know, how much, you know, we'll bring back in from putting into it. But like I talked about before, my only concern is being able to fund the next thing that I'm going to do. The past two films I've made, they have not made enough money for me to be able to fund the next film. That's a problem. So that's why I've been, that's why I really spent so much time on this film. It really, really tried to, you know, do it as best as I could. So that for that explicit reason, because I think this film is, it's worth buying. I really think it is. I think that, oftentimes people are afraid to tell you that their stuff is not worth buying. I think all my films are worth buying, but I also think that it's, you know, sometimes they're not. But I do think this film is worth buying strictly because, you know, this is some of this territory. There are very few people out there who are willing and brave enough to tread into this territory. And look, you know, I never wanted any of this to be true. I mean, if I had it to do over again, you know, there's a part of you that wishes you could go back, you know, that you could go back and stick your head back in the sand again and go back to, you know, being a mindless patriotard, you know, New World Order, anti-New World Order, Alex Jones crony, you know, and out there passing out DVDs every weekend. You know, there's a part of you that you see this, but then you think that you're like, no, that's not, you know, that's not, I want the truth. That's why I'm in this, you know. That's the only reason I do this. This is for me more than it is for anybody else. I want to know the truth. And not what they tell me is the truth, the real truth. That's the whole point of why I do this. But you have to be willing to accept the fact that a lot of things that you're going to find out are not going to be comfortable to you. They're not going to be stuff that you're going to like to have to believe is real or true. And it's going to challenge everything. And that's the biggest thing. Because this, when you start looking at the CMP stuff and you start finding out, oh my God, I mean, it just twists your noodle, dude. You thought you got angry and pissed off before when you found out, you know, mainstream consensus reality was a lie. Oh my goodness gracious. When you have to unplug somebody from the matrix again, it's way, way more violent and traumatizing the second time around. Really, from what I've seen, when people have to realize, you know, that Ron Paul and Alex Jones and all this stuff is another layer of the onion. Wow, man. I mean, it's like seeing somebody coming down off dope. It really is. It's like somebody coming down off of a bad physical addiction to a drug. Because that is how powerful Alex Jones's mind control tactics that he's using and his psychological operation tactics he's using, because he's funded from the top down using psychological operation, warfare operations. I mean, folks, this guy's running stuff right out of Michael Aquino's playbook. You need to go read the Mind War documents. Michael Aquino, Mind War. Type that into search and go read those documents, folks. Look at the Mind War logo on this paper. It looks remarkably similar to some Alex Jones InfoWars logos from his websites. I mean, it's 101 playbook for what this guy does. It's psychological operations. And they're doing this in order to steer any possible uprising of the citizens back towards something that will serve the larger agenda. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are sitting back, not talking about this type of information when they know damn well that what I'm saying is true. And there are a lot of people out there who want this to come to fruition, who want this to happen. You know, that scenario that they describe in the Turner Diaries, that's what these guys want. And I just couldn't in good faith sit around and sit back and not try to expose this from the moment I found out about it. And again, I think that we really need more people researching. Imagine how much farther we could come along if we had more people out there researching and more people out there talking about this stuff and bringing it to the attention of people like myself and others. I've said it once, I've said it before. Everybody asks what the solution is, and I'll give you my same answer that I tell everybody. We, as of yet, ladies and gentlemen, as a people, as a species, we do not have enough information of the entire spectrum of information that the powers that be are aware of. We as citizens do not have access to the information necessary to make a proper decision on what the action is for a solution to the world power structure and its evil mechanisms that have its tentacles wrapped around everything in our lives from cradle to grave. I mean, how can you formulate a solution for something when you honestly don't even have all the information of it yet? We don't have a clue. Now, certainly, those of us that have researched and dug into this stuff have a little bit better of an idea than your average person out there that just, you know, thinks everything on TV is real and everything is on the movies is real and, you know, life is day-to-day. Everything you learned in their school books is true history, and there isn't any additional history other than what they learned in school. There are people out there that believe that. There are literally people out there, I didn't hear about that in my history book. Can't be true. Literally think that everything that there is to know about history was taught to them in the public school system. Really, honestly believe that. And anything outside of that can't be true. Otherwise, well, they would have told us about that. They wouldn't have left that out. I remember getting my dad riled up one time. God damn, he was mad. Told me to get fucked and the fuck off and everyone get the fuck out of his house and all this other shit. Because I was telling him that Ben Franklin was a spy for British intelligence. I mean, that shit's been on the History Channel on regular TV a lot. And he just said that was the craziest goddamn conspiracy theory he'd ever heard in his life. There's no way it's true. I'm a liar. I made that up. And then like 6 months later, it was on, he saw it on History Channel and he didn't want to talk about it after that. But, that's the thing is, man, I mean, there's, you know, I've been blown away by that a bunch of times myself. There's so much more to know. There's so much more to find out about. And there will be solutions that will present themselves to us when the time is right. But we will be sooner and closer to finding that solution as soon as we have more information. I mean, I cannot believe. I mean, it just goes to show you that these guys in the truth movements are complicit. I mean, why don't they, you know, why don't they have somebody out there staking out? Why isn't there some groups out there? You know, we found out this year, a few months ago, that there was going to be a Council for National Policy meeting in San Francisco. And I couldn't get the money together to rent a car and go out there and go and cover it and try and find out, you know, sit in the parking lot with my camera and try to, you know, at least just film who's going in and out of the place. You know, that's it. That's all I would want to do. What's so hard about that? But, you know, it was like, I know we have listeners in California too. I thought it was amazing, and not just people listeners from our show, but I thought it was amazing that considering that information was readily available, publicly made available, and nobody out there, nobody in the whole wide world could go do a little bit of covering for just a day of this CMP meeting and find out who comes in and out of that group and catalog it and make it available online so maybe we'd know who exactly is meeting in these things since they keep their membership list secret. It's unbelievable. People travel all over the globe just to go scream at guys rolling up, you know, these elite New World Order cocksuckers rolling up in their limos to some swank Ritz-Carlton hotel during the Bilderberg thing every year. I mean, the CMP has direct ties to people that are in the bloodlines, folks. Straight up Merovinians, blue bloods, big money, CFR, Federal Reserve, all the way across the board. And you got Ron Paul and all these other clowns running around talking about in the Fed. Well, they're John Birch Society buddies. Had hands in starting the Federal Reserve, for God's sakes. Members in the CFR, guys who were in the John Birch Society who were CFR members and CMP members. Members of both. But it just blows my mind that, you know, we have a very, very important topic here of things we need to find out about, and nobody thinks it's important enough to go and try and cover this or go and try to stake out and find out who's there, even though that information. I was just really blown away by that. I tell you what, there's only been a few moments that made me feel like I really wanted to quit doing this, and that was one of them. Not one motherfucker could go out there with a camera, not one person. I mean, I would have done it myself, but I would have needed $3,000 expenses and, you know, travel and all that stuff. It's not cheap. But it just, you know, I don't know, man. We need more action. Somebody needs to come forward. Somebody needs to, somebody out there has been in these meetings and somebody out there knows what they really talk about. And if you're one of those people, you need to come forward. You need to contact me or somebody over realityshow@gmail.com. That's really what I hope to achieve is to show people that, hey, look, you know, you've been getting caught up in all this Occupy shit, and caught up in all this teabagger shit, caught up in all this Federal Reserve shit. And there's a reason why they want your energy focused on this right now. Because they're getting ready to do a big regime change, big global reset of the game board. And they want to make this flip and change of the game board look like a natural transition that was wanted by the people. That way, when it doesn't work, they can say, well, this is what you wanted. You know, now we're stuck with it. We can't go back. Yeah, it sucks worse than the other system, but hey, you know, them's the breaks. And that's what they're doing. And it amazes me to look at the news every day and see them doing exactly what I said they were going to do. You know, they're going to, I'm telling you guys, people think I'm crazy. They're going to bring Ron Paul to the top of the Republican Party. He might be getting the nomination. There's going to be a massive psychological operation that has something to do with Ron Paul. It's going to happen between now and the elections next year. And I can tell you that if I'm wrong about that, I will eat crow. But I have felt this for a couple of years now, and I feel stronger, more now than I ever have. Something's going to go down, an assassination, a shooting, attempted something. I don't know what's, I really don't know, but something I feel is going to go happen. And it's going to be used to get people to want to rise up and have an armed conflict. And Jonesy's going to do everything he can to try and make that happen. I mean, that guy flashes his piece, you know, it's in my film. He flashed, sitting there on camera, on a radio show, flashing a piece in the studio. A gun. I mean, nothing says provocateur more than that, folks. Seriously. You know what? I mean, nothing. I mean, these people posing on the internet with their guns and shit. Come on. Real gun owners don't do that shit. Only ops and feds and spooks and Fed bait and all the rest of this shit do that kind of stuff. Real gun owners don't want anybody to know what the fuck they got. Real gun owners like to keep that shit on the DL and by the time you find out just what kind of heat they're packing, it's going to be too late. Because the gun ain't going to come out unless it's going to be come out to be used. And that's just all there is to it. You don't go, come on, flashing on, especially, somebody who's on, who's a Fox News employee. And Jones is a Fox News employee, folks. I mean, I hate to break that to you fanboys out there, but it's a fact. His Sunday show is on KLBJ. He does that once a week to draw in listeners from that over to his show that still appears to be, independent on GCN. Yeah, right. Oh, man, I could rant all night on that horseshit, I tell you what. I'm going to be doing, I think once the film is out and once we get DVDs out to people, I think one night I'm going to be going through the script of the film and maybe running through that because I want to do something. I wish Justin TV would still work the way it used to do. Because I'd like to do something where, like commentary on the film or something. Maybe I'll read through the script one night and talk about different things. There's little things I can interject, that I think are interesting, little tidbits that sometimes you can't really necessarily make it in the film, so to speak. So let's see what kind of news we have here tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com is my email address. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you want to send an email over to me at any time during the show or any time not during the show, and I will do my best to read that for you next time. Don't have any emails to get into here tonight on the broadcast, but we do have some news. So without further ado, I'd like to jump into the news here tonight. I've been salivating to cover this. This is unbelievable. Just an unbelievable admission. And, to all the people who say this stuff isn't real and that they don't use this on regular people, they're using this stuff everywhere. Taiwan spy agency denies magnetic attack. Taiwan's intelligence agency on Tuesday flatly rejected allegations that it had launched electromagnetic wave attacks against the running mate of an opposition presidential candidate. The National Security Bureau has not owned the alleged technologies, nor have we used equipment to harass the alleged targeted person, the Bureau said in a statement. Lin Ruisheng, the running mate of the independent candidate James Sung, surprised the public last week when he claimed to have been subjected to electromagnetic wave attacks by the Bureau on September 20th outside his home and over the following 3 days. If I hadn't quickly moved out of my home, I would have lost my mind, he told reporters. Lin is an epidemiologist and was chosen by Sung as his running mate in a move seen as aimed at securing support from Taiwan's rich and influential medical circles. Sung is considered unlikely to win the January 14th polls, but observers said he could threaten the incumbent Ma Ying-jeou, who is locked in a tight race against Tsai Ing-wen of the main opposition Democratic Progressive Party. So this guy, they don't like him. He must be a challenge to the powers that be, the status quo. So they're hitting him with electromagnetic psychic attacks or electromagnetic harassment and all this kind of stuff. Man, they got this stuff. That's old tech. They've got it all over the place. I mean, that stuff's basically, falling on the ground like leaves. It's so cheap. I mean, this technology and active denial stuff and all this surveillance grid stuff, Homeland Security, it's gotten dirt cheap. How dirt cheap has it gotten? Well, let's find out here. Listen to this. The Pentagon is offering free military hardware to every police department in the U.S. Wasn't that special? So before they were doing this stuff like they did here in Dallas when they have the Super Bowl here, City of Arlington got, $50 million in grants from the Department of Homeland Security to bring in all this new surveillance grid stuff, all this, tracking and surveillance equipment and these unmanned helicopter drones. And then, of course, just as I had predicted, I said, you know, this stuff's not going to leave after the Super Bowl goes away. It's going to stay here. But the real question here is if the Pentagon is now giving free military hardware to every police department in the U.S., who's paying for that, number one? Well, you know the answer to that. You and I are paying for that. Your taxpayers are paying for that. So the Department of Homeland Security is now, and the Pentagon is now going to police departments and saying, hey, look, you want to be militarized? So they are militarizing the police force under the guise of doing it for free. Oh, yeah, well, hey, you guys want some brand spanking new military equipment so you can crack heads like we're doing in Iraq, do it on the city streets of Ma and Pa, small town America? Yeah, all right. The U.S. military has some of the most advanced killing equipment in the world that allows it to invade almost wherever it likes at will. We produce so much military equipment that inventories of military robots, M16 assault rifles, helicopters, armored vehicles, and grenade launchers eventually start to pile up, and it turns out a lot of these weapons are going straight to American police forces to be used against U.S. citizens. Benjamin Carlson at The Daily reports on a little-known endeavor called the 1033 program that gave more than $500 million of military gear to U.S. police forces in 2011 alone. 1033 was passed by Congress in 1997 to help law enforcement fight terrorism and drugs. But despite a 40-year low in violent crime, police are snapping up hardware like never before. While this year's staggering take topped the charts, next year's orders are up 400% over the same period. This upswing coincides with an increasingly military-like style of law enforcement, most recently seen in the Occupy Wall Street crackdowns. Tim Lynch, director of the Cato Institute and Project on Criminal Justice, told The Daily the trend towards militarization was well underway before 9/11. But it's the federal policy of making surplus military equipment available almost for free that has poured fuel on this fire. Yeah, because, I mean, who's going to turn away free shit? But again, you know as well as I do, ain't nothing free. Somebody's paying for it, and who's paying for it? The taxpayers. I mean, their whole game is to get us to pay for our own enslavement. I mean, these motherfuckers shoot people in the head and then send, you know, a bill to the family for the bullet. Now, that's a microcosmic analogy for the bigger picture, but that's really what they do. You're going to pay for your own enslavement. You're going to pay for your own death and everything else. It's we're going to kill you, then make you pay for your own death. How about that? Unbelievable. All because of the fact that you were born in our world and we own it. And so, hurry up and get talking so you can start producing or being one of our slaves. And then hurry up and die so we can get you to pay for that as well. It's unbelievable. They've turned every element of our entire plant existence into a racket. And the thing is, it's all an illusion. Everybody says, always talks about the real world this, the real world that. Motherfucker, none of us know what the real world is. Nobody knows. I live in the real world. No, you don't. What's the real world? The world where you take it in the pooper from the New World Order and smile every day like there's nothing wrong? None of us know what the real world is because we've never existed in a world that wasn't about being enslaved from cradle to grave and having your mind and your existence and everything else programmed and lied to about everything. We don't know what the real world is. We live in one gigantic illusion. But as I've talked about before, you can sit around and just say, oh, yeah, it's all an illusion. I don't care. You know, there are people that get apathetic when they find that out. And that's bullshit, too. oh, it's all an illusion, so I'm not going to care if, you know, if it's going into hell in a handbasket, because it's all, I mean, that's no different than the Christians who are like, well, I'm not going to worry about this stuff because I'm going to get raptured out anyway because Jesus is coming back. You know, I see New Agers and urban hippies and, you know, pagans and all these different people do that kind of shit all the time. Oh, well, it's all an illusion, so who cares anyway, you know? I mean, no, that they've got you the same way they've got the Christians. You're not free from this just because, you know, you're now reading Ram Dass or something, you know, and smoking Thai stick. That doesn't... You still have a responsibility when you find out that all this is an illusion to try and change the illusion so that this doesn't stay this way forever, permanently, for the coming generations. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Very few of us are brave enough to just devote themselves to doing this. I have. Not all people, not everybody can do that. It's not the easiest thing, but I've dedicated myself to doing this, and this is what I do. But that's what it's going to take. Otherwise, we're just going to stay complacent and attached to the status quo material world. We're never going to want to change it. We're going to take a break and come back and get into the rest of our news tonight. Probably get into the Kabbalion as well for you here tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you want to send an email, love to hear from you. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks. This is Global Reality. Yeah.
Mother Earth, thank you.
sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Gonna get back into the news we have here for you tonight as well. My website, theglobalreality.com, www.theglobalreality.com. Again, 49 more minutes of the Sea Right Volume 2 is now up on YouTube. So definitely go and check that out, as well as getting your Blu-ray or DVD copy ordered. They're there. And also, we have the Chip In Band and the Donate button at our website. That's how you support our work. We don't have commercials. We don't have advertising. We don't have sponsors. We don't have anything else. And we ask that you support our work if you can that way. Please use the Chip In banner, and the Donate button is there for other amounts. The more we have to work with, the easier my job is. So keep that in mind, you know. That's surely just the reality of it. So please donate if you can today so we can continue to move forward and do the work that needs to be done. Let's see what we have here in the news basket for the rest of the show tonight. The United States is fighting terrorism one snow cone at a time. Montcalm County recently received a $900 Arctic Blast snow cone machine. The West Michigan Shoreline Regional Development Commission is a federal and state-designed agency responsible for managing and administrating the Homeland Security Program in Montcalm County and 12 other counties. The WMSRDC recently purchased and transferred Homeland Security equipment to these counties, including 13 snow cone machines at a cost of $13,700. Wow, so $11,700 of your taxpayers' dollars went to fund 13. Interesting, it would be 13 snow cone machines. What do you suppose is the strategic element that a snow cone provide, or a snow cone machine, rather, or a snow cone even itself? What strategic element does that provide for anti-terrorism? You want to know the answer? Because I know the answer if you'd like to know. Absolutely zip, zero, zilch, because the whole thing's bullshit anyway. And this is further proof. I mean, really? We need Homeland Security that will protect us from the terrorists that are in our government and in our streets. These are the real terrorists. Are we supposed to, you know, what? Oh, well, it's okay. Here, I know you're a terrorist, but here, have a snow cone. It'll make it all better. Is this, I don't know. I'm looking at this article. I'm wondering if this, I saw this article and I was going, is this further proof that Al Gore is what everybody says he is? No, not a lying, manipulative piece of shit, but a high-level reptilian. I've heard people say Al Gore's a high-level reptilian. He very well could be. I know his bloodline is fucking hard as you can get. Bob Woodward says that sitting next to Al Gore is taxing and unpleasant. Why? Does he smell like fucking, you know, kibble from eating rare steak all day? If you plan on throwing a dinner party full of VIPs, whatever you do, don't seat Bob Woodward next to Al Gore. In a speech at the Organization for International Investment's annual dinner at the D.C.'s Ritz-Carlton Hotel on Thursday, the famed Washington Post journalist who helped uncover the Watergate scandal disclosed that he doesn't enjoy the former vice president as a table mate. Describing an event where he was paired up next to the monotone talking ex-vice president, Woodward said, now sitting next to Al Gore is taxing. In fact, it's unpleasant. But he doesn't say exactly why. Maybe it's because he fucking, you know, maybe his eyes roll in the back of his head, you know, like he's fucking a vampire or some shit. I don't know. I just thought that was an amusing article. primetime religion Catholics to air national TV ads. Are they getting desperate like Scientology? Well, worked for Scientology, right? I mean, their membership went through the roof. It's all the same. Scientology, Catholics, it doesn't matter. It's all coming from the same bozos. Controlled from the top down, from the priest-classed minions that sit in the power structure of Rome. Catholics Come Home wants Catholics to come back to church, and it's using primetime television ads to get the message across. The nonprofit lay organization is partnering with dioceses across the country to launch a major national evangelization campaign whose main component is nearly $4 million in network TV ads that will air across the country December 16th to January 8th. It is the first such national TV ad campaign ever for the Catholic Church, as Tom Peterson, president of Roswell, Georgia-based Catholics Come Home. The goal is to reach out to not only inactive Catholics, but also to people who have never belonged to a faith or might want to consider switching religions. is that your pitch? Is that your sales pitch? I mean, because that sounds kind of weak. Are you a former Catholic or an inactive Catholic? Would you like to be active again? Come to the Catholic Church. We guarantee that we are at least 98% butt toucher free nowadays. We've expunged all the butt touchers. Have you never belonged to a faith? Are you an atheist? Are you considering a religion? Are you religion bicurious? I mean, are you thinking about, you know, taking on a religion for the first time? Let us suggest Catholicism. If you're a beginner, if you've never experienced religion before, Catholicism's a great place to start. We find out that, you know, once people join Catholicism, generally they are pretty scared shitless to ever want to become anything other than a Catholic because, we instill some pretty hardcore fear of wrath of God type stuff in them, you know. I mean, it pretty much dissuades them from wanting to have anything to do with any other religions, you know, on threat of hellfire and damnation. That just gets them every time. And, and if you're considering switching religions, I mean, hey, you know, if you're tired of the Buddha, if he's not doing it for you anymore, if that whole, you know, I can only show you the path, I can't walk down it for you thing is getting a little old for you. Hey, guess what we got? Catholicism for you. Guess what? We will be happy to not only show you the path, but we'll walk down the motherfucker for you. You don't have to do anything. Make sure you put that check or that cash in that collection plate when it comes around. Make sure you come to Mass and you do what we tell you to do and you believe in the book. And hey, you're going to be all right. You don't have to worry about it. You can switch religions. We'll walk down the path. Just believe in us, right? I mean, this is really desperate. But it's amusing to me to watch these guys run these. It's just amazing. It's such a fucking phony chess game that they run. I mean, they rob Peter to pay Paul, and then but turns out Paul is also them. You know, it's like they run all these operations that are funded from the top down to destroy religion, while simultaneously also spending money on operations to try and revitalize religion. That's how you know that one of the major things that we're going to see take place, I believe in our time, I believe probably sooner rather than later, is we are going to see this massive catalyzing event around the globe that is going to divide people even further than they already are between religion and science. And we see this operation, it's been an ongoing thing. They've put it in movies, Angels and Demons, and Knowing, all these different movies. They've referenced it, but that's really where they're going. And that's why I think Scientology fits the bill for the one of a religious aspect. It really ties in theological stuff with science, with extraterrestrials. I think that's what a lot of this allowing the Anunnaki and extraterrestrial stuff to be on primetime major TV now, and History Channel, Ancient Aliens. But a lot of people have contested the validity of these supposed letters that Albert Pike had written to Giuseppe Mazzini that were located in the in a naval museum in England about, you know, pitting atheists and Christians against each other and the World War. Well, you know, a lot of people have questioned the validity of that, but knowing what I know about Pike and his, the fact that he was taking orders directly from Rome, it's a fact. The entire South was controlled by the Jesuit order, always, and pretty much still is. But it's no doubt that Pike would have had that knowledge based on his associations with people that were in the Jesuit order. In fact, Pike had had fled to Canada. He had fled to Canada after the Civil War because Lincoln had tried to have him tried for war crimes. So he fled to Canada, and when he fled to Canada, Albert Pike actually stayed with a Jesuit priest who I think later also had something to do with harboring some of the other assassins that were involved in the assassination of Lincoln. But, you know, people have questioned the validity of that, but it's getting harder to deny the validity of those letters and that statements by Pike because it does appear that that's what they're going to do. They're going to really polarize people. Major discoveries are going to take place. They're going to allow information they've known about, you know, archaeological stuff, religious texts. They're going to allow stuff that they've known about for years, they've kept in secret. They're going to allow this stuff to come out in a controlled release to make it appear that this, you know, these are new revelations that we're all just now finding out about. Meanwhile, people at the very top have known about these things for centuries. And that's when we're going to see really a really polarizing thing that will either, you know, lead us towards a world where we realize that we don't need an elite and we don't need people ruling over us, or it's going to lead us into a world where we're more enslaved than we are now and we'll never see a way out of it. I'm sorry to go on these rants. When you're as plugged into this stuff as I am all the time, folks, it's hard not to, you know, tell you what I'm thinking about when I'm looking at this stuff. It's just mind blowing. Let's see here. How the world's first cyber super weapon designed by the CIA attacked Iran now threatens the world. The CIA could have been behind a computer virus, dubbed the world's first cyber superweapon that attacked an Iranian nuclear plant. The launch of Stuxnet in 2010 marked the transformation of viruses into weapons of war. People believe also have said that that's what happened to Japan, but they're keeping that a secret. Because Japan had been providing some nuclear material to Iran, so that they launched Stuxnet on Japan too. Supposedly that's the word around the campfire that nobody really wants to talk about. Experts believe it was so sophisticated that it could have only been invented by designers with the backing of a nation state, with a spy arm of the U.S. government being the main suspect. Well, it could have been Mossad too, but generally with these type of operations, you got Mossad and CIA and Interpol and MI6 and a lot of these agencies working together on this stuff. It was purpose-built to attack Iran's Bushehr nuclear plant, overriding and controlling circuits inside the plant to cause physical damage. Now, see, this whole thing's bullshit because everybody who knows anything about computer systems knows, and they're saying, oh, this threatens the world. Now, any power plants and any stuff like this around the world could be attacked by this Stuxnet. Well, the whole thing's horseshit, folks. I can't believe this is an operation. I can't believe they're going to run in broad daylight. This is so transparent and such bullshit. I can't believe they think they're going to get away with this in broad daylight. Folks, it is a fact. And all of you out there that are computer people will back me up on this. Anytime you hear about a government computer system getting hacked, or, you know, some virus coming over the internet, folks, it's a lie. these government systems and these DOD systems, these are not, you know, these computer systems that run nuclear power plants, they're not just on the net. They don't just have a website you can go to and, oh, yeah, there's the, that's controlled right into the main reactor right there. Don't push that button. I mean, folks, are you really that gullible? Are people really that dumbed down and retarded now throughout the entire world that we just all believe that nuclear power plants and government computers and all this stuff are just on the regular old plain Jane internet like the rest of us? Folks, they had internal nets a long time ago. That was the formation of what we know as the internet. Started out as the ARPANET, the DARPANET. And all of these facilities, from nuclear weapons facilities and missile silos to NORAD to Cheyenne Mountain, you know, all these different places, they have internal systems. In the case of Cheyenne Mountain, the entire mountain is a Faraday cage. So if an EMP goes off, it can't be affected. The governments have internal computer systems that don't go on outside lines, ladies and gentlemen. But they think you're so stupid that you don't know that. And then you hear, oh, yeah, well, we Pentagon systems got attacked by China. You can't get into those systems if those systems are not on the regular old plain old Jane old internet. I mean, it just the fact that they still think people believe this, I can't believe people actually think that you can just hack a nuclear power plant from the internet. That you can actually get a hold of the systems and the core from the internet as if, you know, these giant nuclear reactors are just, you know, all the controls from are just any, you know, freely available on the internet. You can just go and hack into it and control anything you want. Yeah, right. I mean, yet again, an inside job like it always is, that's exactly what they do. They attack themselves. Then they tell us there's a threat and they get us to react and then they sell us on what their solution is. And 99% of the time, it's a solution that's going to further their agenda, period, end of story. BP is accusing Halliburton of intentionally destroying evidence related to the explosion aboard an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, again, down the memory hole, we covered stories about this earlier this year that said that BP had hired Halliburton, and in fact, had hired them before the spill actually happened. I mean, how they had the foresight to do that, I don't know. Wow, it's amazing for them. How did Halliburton have the foresight to buy the largest oil cleanup spill company in the world that was located in Houston, Texas, 2 months before the BP oil disaster? I don't know. I guess they're just, you know, people like that are just smart. They just know how to do things ahead of time, Josh. That's what it is. You know, like Lucky Larry Silverstein, yeah. He was a businessman, you know. He was just smart taking out that record insurance policy on the World Trade Center towers 2 months before 9/11. Yeah. No, BP hired Halliburton to cover this fucking thing up. Now they're going to try and run a story and say, BP says Halliburton intentionally destroyed evidence. That's what you hired them to do, you cocksuckers. Everybody knows Halliburton is connected to the tip top of the pyramid. And they pay off the lobbyists, they pay off the Congress, and they pay off everybody. That's why you hire Halliburton. I mean, Halliburton got the contract to clean up the oil spill in a no-bid contract from BP. Oh, well, we don't know why. We can't believe her. Halliburton's destroying the evidence from the Gulf oil spill. Yeah, well, well, you're their, your client. We're so mad that they're destroying evidence that would be harmful to our company. God damn it. We're so mad that they're saving us from billions of dollars in lawsuits and environmental protection fines, all the rest of this stuff from destroying evidence. God damn it. We're so mad about that. We can't believe Halliburton's destroying evidence that's going to save our ass. Oh, my God, we're mad. Give me a break. I mean, this shit is just pandering. I mean, really? Are people really getting that retarded? This stuff just goes over people's heads. I mean, you know, when I first saw that movie Idiocracy, it took me to about the second time I watched it to think it was funny because I just felt like I was already there.
You want some water? You mean like from the toilet? That's gay. Why do you talk like a fag?
What do you mean? Why do I talk like a fag? I talk like a regular person. I've literally been places like that, like hillbilly, you know, podunk places before. And you walk in, you're like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, can I just have some water?
Why do you talk like that?
Why do I talk like what?
You talk like you're from the city. Are you a fag from the city?
No. Why? Because I have two teeth and you can actually understand what I'm saying? Christ. I mean, I feel like I was already living in that world. It wasn't funny to me at first. Anyway, that's it for the news.
Suck Satan's cock, you fucking news. We're done with it, bitch.
Yeah, thank you, Satan. I appreciate that. Oh, he's always got to throw in his two cents. Let's see. Yeah. I got to find my... What did I do with... Where did it go? There it is. All right. Let's see where we are picking up tonight. Chapter 3 of the Kabbalion. Mental transmutation. As we have stated, the Hermeticists were the original alchemists, astrologers, and psychologists. Hermes, having been the founder of these schools of thought, from astrology has grown modern astronomy. From alchemy has grown modern chemistry. From the mystic psychology has grown the modern psychology of the schools, but it must not be supposed that the ancients were ignorant of that which the modern schools supposed to be their exclusive and special property. The records engraved on the stones of ancient Egypt show conclusively that the ancients had a full comprehensive knowledge of astronomy. The very building of the pyramid showing the connection between their design and the study of astronomical science. Nor were they ignorant of chemistry. For the fragments of the ancient writings show that they were acquainted with the chemical properties of things. In fact, the ancient theories regarding physics are being slowly verified by the latest discoveries of modern science. Notably, those relating to the constitution of matter. Nor must it be supposed that they were ignorant of all the so-called modern discoveries in psychology. On the contrary, the Egyptians were especially skilled in the science of psychology, particularly in the branches that the modern schools ignore, but which nevertheless are being uncovered in the name of psychic science, which is perplexing the psychologists of today, and making them reluctantly admit that there may be something in it after all. The truth is that beneath the material chemistry, astronomy, and psychology, that is, the psychology in its phase of the brain action, the ancients possessed a knowledge of transcendental astronomy called astrology, of transcendental chemistry called alchemy, of transcendental psychology called mystic psychology. They possessed the inner knowledge as well as the outer knowledge, the latter alone being possessed by modern scientists. Among the many secret branches of knowledge possessed by the Hermeticists was that transmutation, which known as mental forms, the subject matter of this lesson. Transmutation is a term usually employed to designate the ancient art of transmutation of metals, particularly of the base metals into gold. The word transmute means to change from one nature, form, or substance into another. And accordingly, mental transmutation means the art of changing and transforming mental states, forms, and conditions into others. So you may see that mental transmutation is the art of mental chemistry. If you like the term, a form of practical mystic psychology. But this means far more than appears on the surface. transmutation, alchemy, or chemistry on the mental plane is important enough in its effects to be sure. And if the art stopped, there would still be one of the most important branches of study known to man. But this is only the beginning. Let us see why. The first of the seven hermetic principles is the principle of mentalism, the axiom of which is the all is mind, the universe is mental, which means that the underlying reality of the universe is mind, and the universe itself is mental, that is, existing in the mind of the all. We shall consider this principle in succeeding lessons, but let us see the effect of the principle if it be assumed to be true. If the universe is mental in its nature, then mental transmutation must be the art of changing the conditions of the universe along the lines of matter, force, and mind. So you see, therefore, that mental transmutation is really like the magic of which the ancient writers had so much to say in their mystical works and about which they gave so few practical instructions. If all be mental, then the art which enables one to transmute mental conditions must render the master the controller of material conditions as well as those ordinarily called mental. As a matter of fact, none but advanced mental alchemists have been able to attain the degree of power necessary to control the grosser physical conditions, such as the control of the elements of nature, the production or cessation of tempests, the production and cessation of earthquakes, and other great physical phenomena. But that such men have existed and do exist today is a matter of earnest belief to all advanced occultists of all schools. That the masters exist and have these powers, the best teachers assure their students, having had experiences which justify them in such belief and statements. These masters do not make public exhibitions of their powers, but seek seclusion from the crowds of men in order to better work their may along the path of attainment, whatever that means. We mention their existence at this point merely to call your attention to the fact that their power is entirely mental and operates along the lines of the higher mental transmutation of the hermetic principle of mentalism. But students and hermeticists of lesser degree than masters, the initiates and teachers, are able to freely work along the mental plane in mental transmutation. In fact, all that we call psychic phenomena, mental influence, mental science, and new thought phenomena, etc., operates along the same general lines, for there is but one principle involved, no matter by what name the phenomenon be called. The student and practitioner of mental transmutation works among the mental plane, transmuting mental conditions, states, etc., into others according to various formulas. The various treatments, affirmations, denials, etc., of the schools of mental science are but formulas, often quite imperfect and unscientific, of the hermetic art. The majority of modern practitioners are quite ignorant compared to the ancient masters, for they lack the fundamental knowledge upon which the work is based. Not only may the mental states of oneself be changed or transmuted by hermetic methods, but also the states of others may be and are constantly transmuted in the same way, usually unconsciously, but often consciously by some understanding the laws and principles in cases where the people affected are not informed of the principles of self-protection. And more than this, as many students and practitioners of modern mental science know, every material condition, depending upon the minds of other people, may be changed or transmuted in accordance with the earnest desire, will, and treatments of person desiring changed conditions of life. The public are so generally informed regarding these things at present that we do not deem it necessary to mention the same at length, our purpose at this point being merely to show the hermetic principle and art underlying all of these various forms of practice, good and evil. For the force can be used in opposite directions according to the hermetic principles of polarity. In this little book, we shall state the basic principles of mental transmutation. that all who read may grasp the underlying principles and thus possess the master key that will unlock the many doors of the principle of polarity. We shall now proceed to a consideration of the first of the Hermetic Seven Principles, the principle of mentalism, in which is explained the truth that the all is mind, the universe is mental. In the words of the Kybalion, we ask the close attention and careful study of this great principle on the part of our students, for it is really the basic principle of the whole Hermetic philosophy and of the Hermetic art of mental transmutation. All right, so that's chapter 3 of the Kybalion. We'll pick up on chapter 4 next time, which is properly titled after the last chapter there, The All. So we'll get into this. This is pretty rad. This is like, you know, initiate mystery religion school shit right here. I think it's important to go through this stuff and read this stuff because, you know, up until now, the only people who have access, really, for the most part, to this type of information have been people who have been in the power structure and people who are using this type of knowledge for their own good. We up until this point, we have not had people alive who know about the evil rulers and controllers of the world and the things they've done, the crimes that they've committed against humanity. And so we haven't had people that know the spiritual aspects of this. And that things like, you know, we're so programmed to think magic and all this stuff is fake and false. But, you know, that's the work of the Magi convincing you that all of that stuff is fake and false. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. I'd like to thank everybody for out there for tuning in and being with us tonight. As you always are, please buy a DVD or a Blu-ray from us. Well, the Z-Grive Volume 2, and we're going to be shipping those off, and hopefully we'll get those back in the next couple of weeks. Probably take, I don't know, a few weeks to have them made, but you can order those now. But please donate to our work, thegoalready.com, chip in banner, donate button there, and please help us out if you can, folks. We need all the support we can get at all times so we can continue on doing this. My name is Josh Reeves. I love you, each and every one of you, and we'll see you tomorrow. You guys have a great night. Take care.